Oh yeah, you know, live from Harlem in New York, right here. I'm Alex, and this is The Ramble.
Oh, people from my life come back to haunt me.
You begged me to come back.
I know I did.
So I didn't come back to haunt you.
I know I did, and you're not exactly easy to get.
Oh, what are you talking
about? You're
so
busy down there in Florida. I mean, can't imagine the problems you've got just making your schedule work, you know.
Well, by the way, we now call it DeFlorida.
DeFlorida.
So, DeFlorida.
DeFlorida. Did you see, what's his name, Bob Iger has really not taken any crap from him, from DeSantis.
He shouldn't.
And what he said was, you know, he says, DeSantis is just stupid about this whole thing. He said, we give $1 billion a year to the state of Florida in taxes. We're the second largest employer in the state of Florida, state of Florida being the first.
Right.
Okay.
And he's right to do that. And DeSantis is making a big mistake because the people in this state, second to guns, love Disney more than anything. And I would say probably theme parks, the Disney and the Universal.
Well,
and
because it has given a commerce to Florida that it would have never had.
Not only a commerce, but a reputation as being a fun place to go. In addition to what the cruise lines do, it's just a fun place to go. It's nice. The climate is good. Come here and have a good time. And that's the one thing I think all Floridians have in common is to say, hey, we really enjoy, you know, the comfort we have anyway. And he's ruining that.
Several other states have said, come here. You know, we want you. We want this kind of business.
What? Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's big money.
You know, I mean, I often said that if Iger really wanted to put the challenge out to DeSantis, he could just say, listen, we'll just close up shop and go somewhere else, but we're going to keep this property,
right,
and we're not going to let you use it, you know.
That's what I've thought from the start.
You know, why I mean, you don't want it? Okay, great. You'll lose $1 billion in taxes, and you'll lose all the business that comes here and all the jobs it creates. We forgot about that part of it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, DeSantis is stupid. He's just really stupid with this whole thing. You don't pick a fight with a mouse, okay?
Probably not a good idea.
At least not that mouse.
Right.
But anyway, so good. You know, but you've got DeSantis down there, and I don't know what the love is for him in that state. You know, he's done really nothing for it. You know.
I can't figure it out either. But people apparently want to have this guy as their governor.
Yep,
we'll see how long it lasts.
And
if he abandons the state midway because he has higher aspirations, then the voters will speak again. And we'll find out what happens to him.
Yeah, yeah.
He could lose anything he runs for in the future if he runs before his term is over here.
Well, certainly this whole Disney debacle is something that could be held against him. You know, I mean, he's jeopardizing the state, and you know, these special districts or so on that were created that they're claiming that Reedy Creek has now. And they're going to take it away from them. There are 1,000 other exceptions of that sort throughout the state of Florida.
Of course.
From retirement homes to businesses and so on, they get this special dispensation. So, I mean, it's not like Disney has this special deal that nobody else has, and it's, you know, it's horrible because they're getting tax breaks and blah, 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 blah. No. In fact, you know, Disney, for instance, in that part of the world, because they have control over it, they own and operate the fire departments, mm-hmm, the police departments, all of that. The state doesn't have to pay a penny for that sort of thing. And it's really been an amazing thing that he even challenged Disney this way.
It will be an interesting outcome.
Yeah,
because there's a lot at stake.
And Disney has the right to sue them too, saying
absolutely
all we did was absolutely disagree with a policy that the state undertook. Mm-hmm. And we disagreed with it. That's free speech. We have the right to do that just like anybody else. And now we're being penalized for it. He threatened, one of the things that will not look good in court is that he threatened to build a prison next door to Disney World.
Well, we'll see if it goes to court or whether he relaxes his tone.
Or whether by the time it does go to court, DeSantis is even governor.
Yeah. That could change too.
Yeah.
I suspect he will be. What has he got, another 2 years, something like that? I don't even know.
But, you know, things take forever to go through the courts. You know, I learned that myself in my own situation. It took us 9 years before we had a settlement.
That's what the rich and powerful bank on. The fact that it'll take so long,
it exhausts
the little guy.
It ate up, let me see here. It ate up about $175,000 of our money to keep this apartment. Now, granted, it still only brings our rent down to about $1,800 a month during that period of time. You know, and now it's only $500 because of the decision by the judge. But, I mean, it's just been horrible. It's been horrible. And so when you talk about the DeSantis situation, yeah, it'll be a little faster, but it's not. It may be more than 2 years that it's going to take to wend its way through the courts. And then they always do the other thing. You go through this whole court battle, and then they say, well, we're going to appeal this to the appellate court. So that takes another year.
That's part of the process now. It's automatically, you have to think it's going to go through appeal after appeal after appeal.
That's what happened to us.
Everybody.
Well, here in New York, you have to appeal within, I think, 6 months. And then the appeals court comes back with a verdict on that in about 3 months, 2 or 3 months. So in our case, the appeals court heard the landlord and then said, you don't have a good case. We go back to the original verdict by the judge.
And then can't they appeal it to a higher court?
I don't think there are a few things my lawyer said they could do, but it's very hard to do. And once you've lost your appeal, that's it pretty much. That's pretty much the end of the game.
Okay. Unless you're very rich, then you can keep appealing.
Depends how much you want to play the clock out with us. You know, you're gonna charge us, make us spend this money constantly over and over and over again, you know. And how much money are they willing to spend? You know, here's the deal with us. So we get this apartment for $500 a month now. Big deal, you know. Okay, so how old are we? I'm 83. Yep. Marjorie is 80. Mm-hmm. Just wait for us to drop dead. Then you can do whatever you want to with this apartment.
And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just wait it out.
Well,
you know, that's why I plan to live to be 100, just to piss those people
off. Forget about 100. Go to 120.
I'm going for anything I can, you know.
Absolutely. Screw the system.
Yeah.
But
otherwise, you like Florida, don't you? Okay, well, that answers it.
I'd say as much as I like anywhere else. I like my little four walls. That's, you know, the rest is like being anywhere else. It's the same crappy stores all over the place, the same big box stores, mm-hmm. the same traffic everywhere you go. It's no different.
Yeah.
Except here, there's no state income tax. That's one of the good things.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's not.
So it's either here or Nevada or I forgot what the other income tax states are.
I always get a lot of money back from the state of New York.
Yeah, I never did. That's one of the reasons I left.
I do. I don't know why, you know, but I leave that up to my business manager who does the taxes every year.
Okay.
You know, but have you thought about moving out of Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if I do, it'll probably be out of the country.
You know something? I don't blame you. You know, we're going to spend a lot of time out of the country in a while. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with GabNet. I'm going to have to figure out how to keep it going. I may do some shows from overseas or whatever.
But where are you going?
We don't know. We haven't figured it out completely. They're all kind of, we have the ability. We're going to have the ability very soon to really stay on permanent vacation.
Oh.
You know. So, and I won't say how, but, a permanent vacation.
Mm-hmm.
We want to just travel the world. You know, I've been looking at places like Fiji, you know, for a couple of weeks.
I don't know anything about Fiji, but it sounds nice.
It's nice if you're there for a couple of weeks. I don't know, you know.
Your back will still hurt in Fiji.
My back
so
will still
different?
Hurt. Well, I can't walk that well anymore. I mean, I can walk, but it's not like I used to do. Okay.
They have wheelchairs in Fiji.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I guess, you know.
Yeah, those rickshaws guy, I think, I don't know, maybe
and
I'm being...
all these countries will hire some guy to drive us around or woman to drive us around.
That's right. Maybe you should get one of those cruise cabins that you stay on the ship. You live on the ship and you go to different ports of call, you know, for years on end.
That's not a bad idea.
If you're okay with being on a ship, you know.
Well... Marjorie has always been against cruises, and I don't like the idea of a cruise either. And the problem is that, you know, you're stuck on this boat with, 4,000 other people in some of the cases of some of these ships?
I don't think it would be that bad if it's one of those live-on ships. It
well, live-on ship is different, but I'm talking about she was always kind of against cruises. And lately, she's warmed up to the thing that she liked. She didn't want to go on one of the big boats. But these long boats they have that go up and down rivers and things like that, she thinks maybe that might be a good idea. The only
a room on that.
The only trouble I have with that is you pass by like a beautiful castle. You mm-hmm. go, well, I want to go over there and see what's in that camp. Well, you can't. You know, you're on this boat, and it's got a schedule. That's my trouble with the boats. So far as driving, I'm very happy to drive, except I don't think I can anymore. You know?
Oh, sure you can.
Well, I think about driving, I think about getting behind the wheel and then going on a highway. And that kind of, I don't know, I'm worried that I don't have the ability anymore. I'm sure if I got behind the wheel of a car, I'd be out of there and doing everything.
Well, that's very responsible of you to say, because there are a lot of people who will not say that. They say, I'm perfectly fine driving, and they don't see a lot of things that are in front of them.
Well, I get tired.
I know several of those people.
I get tired and things like that, you know.
Tired in a car is not a good idea.
Exactly. So, I mean, I have to reconsider that, but I would love to drive through Europe. I love doing that. I love being able to say, that's a beautiful castle. Let's stop there and look at it. You know, but it would drive me crazy to be in a boat and yell, stop here. Okay. We stop. No, we don't stop. This boat does not stop till we get to the next tourist destination where they're waiting for us so they can sell you trinkets
and Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
Yes, of course. And maybe there's an Apple store there.
Of course, there's an Apple store there. Have you thought about maybe, I don't know if they do this, I wouldn't understand why they wouldn't, but have you thought of maybe getting renting a Tesla, which has this, you know, mostly self-driving feature?
Yeah, but I don't know if I could do that.
Why not? You put it on the autopilot or whatever that is.
Well, that's fine. You put it on the autopilot, but I just don't know that I could sit there and not have my hand on the wheel or do anything.
Well,
it would scare the crap out of me.
Well, check it out.
Plus, in some states, they're not allowing that feature in a Tesla because they've been having problems with them. You know, one of the problems is called Elon Musk, but they've been having problems with them. You know, how do you feel about Musk?
Somebody asked me that just recently, and I said, Elon Musk offered great promise and has delivered huge disappointment.
Huge disappointment.
That was my response.
In what? In the Twitter deal?
In everything. In everything. He offered the promise of a future where humans could go further than they've gone before, not just in space, but technologically. Mm-hmm. And the freedom opened by technology for humans to do more things. And it seems he's gone the other way on those things, particularly with Twitter, particularly with his love of certain financial ideas now. He's just not the guy I thought he was.
You know, the thing is that we have, and if you bring it up and look at it, he had such promise, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
But he only has, I don't care if he's Elon Musk or whoever, most of us only have a certain amount of bandwidth, okay, that we can, in a given day, give to any projects. And the least worthy of all his projects is Twitter. And it takes up more of a disproportionate amount of time for him to deal with that than it is to deal with all the other companies, which are important. I think Tesla is important. I think what they did...
Was important.
What he did was he pushed an entire industry towards electric.
Right.
Okay? And made a very popular car. There hasn't been a new popular car company to come out in years, and Tesla's it. But he changed the nature of the way we drive our cars. Okay? And that's important because that utilizes a lot of our energy. He then started SpaceX, which was a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, what he was able to do with SpaceX.
Right.
The fact that he was able to make sending stuff up to space cheap, inexpensive, in comparison. NASA's still spending a fortune on those rockets.
And yeah, it's obscene what they
spend. He's not even worried about the rockets. He has like 20 of them on the launching pad ready to test. And yeah, some of them go bad. The last one didn't go bad. They blew it up.
Yeah, yeah.
They never had any intention of that thing going into space. It was going to land in the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific or the Gulf or I don't know where.
Right.
And so he has all these rockets ready to go. Okay, that one didn't work. Put this one on there. Okay, let's go. He has a wondrous company going there. And, when NASA sent up their last rocket, the one that's that went around the moon and so on, do you know what the rockets were on that? The same rockets they used on the space shuttle.
Right.
That's not what Musk is doing. He's reinvented.
But it's two different ways to approach things. NASA does things in a very different way, and they test in a different way than the
you know
way
why because they're they're governmental and
well that's true
and he's
that's true.
And he's corporate
right.
You know
they have to go through certain paces before they can get something done.
Right,
he doesn't have to do that.
Right.
He can have a rocket blow up on the pad if it happens, and he'll just build another one. Or I'll have the second one of these buildings coming up behind it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not with him. It's not but he's the guy who can get us to Mars. He's the guy who can really get us to the moon. In fact, NASA's counting on him to get us to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he who's taking everybody up to the space station? SpaceX
for now.
For now.
Now.
Otherwise, we'd be asking the Russians for a lift.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I will say that he was instrumental in breaking ground in those things, in the electric car. And if he had not, somebody else would have.
Yeah.
And he has been instrumental in breaking the ground for commercial space in the way that he did. And if he didn't, somebody else would. Maybe Bezos would not have just had these little... sightseeing trips up to the
again, he may have. You know, I mean, you would think that Bezos would want to follow Musk's lead, but he hasn't.
I don't think he thinks like that anymore. You can't. Musk is so far ahead of him in that development. I don't think he can anymore.
Yeah, but you know, I think Musk has a personality problems. You know,
well, he's autistic.
He's autistic, and most people don't know that, and they don't understand what's so weird about him. Okay, but he's autistic, And he's not the most likable human being in the world, but then you have to look at his accomplishments, and they're pretty impressive. Except for Twitter. That thing was a total waste of his time.
I still don't understand what that was about. Was that about free speech or him?
It was a pissing match. It was a pissing match, and he said, "I got enough money to buy you."
Okay.
You know, so now
I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know. But my question is, if it's such a big thing and everybody's in an uproar, where's the next Twitter? How come that hasn't come yet?
If there's a business in it, why isn't there another Twitter?
Where is it? I mean, if it's so important, why hasn't somebody come up with this, another one like that?
Facebook is still, you know.
But that's as disgusting as Twitter is.
But no, they're still trying to make money. You know, and they're not doing it.
But coming on Elon Musk, I wanted to talk a little bit about something. I sent you two transcripts of, I guess, conversations that I recently had online. And one of them was a conversation about destructive behaviors of humanity. And the other was about ethics in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably took a look at the transcripts. They're about four pages each.
Yeah.
I ask a few questions. I get some feedback. I don't know if you realize, but these transcripts are with OpenAI's ChatGPT.
Yeah, well, I realize that because I've used ChatGPT, and I noticed the little logos there and stuff like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated that this is as comprehensive as it is, that the feedback was as comprehensive as it is. And I know it's not close to being finalized or as good as it can be, but I wanted to find out, since we're talking about Musk, and by the way, Musk thinks that the AI is going to take over and destroy humanity, which is why he left OpenAI. I think he was one of the founders, or he was initially on the board, or maybe the chairman of the board. He was high up in OpenAI.
By leaving something like that, you're not going to stop it from happening anyway.
No, I understand that. But he left it for some reason. I thought it was because he didn't like...
Well, he's against all the AI stuff, but...
But I just read that he started a new company just last month that was AI-based. So I don't understand that either.
Well, maybe he wants it to be a more moral AI. You know, what happened is he came out a while back with this whole AI thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went online. By the way, I have a spot that I'm going to have somebody read that was completely generated by AI for GabNet.
This is what I was getting to as well.
Yeah, just to see how good it could be. And actually, it was pretty close.
It's damn good.
But so, you know what it didn't lack? You know what it lacked? What all AI lacks, even that thing you sent me. It lacks a human personality.
Now?
A human personality is a function I don't think you can artificially replicate.
Okay, but let's say...
Ask AI to write a joke, and I don't think it's going to write a very funny joke.
But let's say 50 years ago and you saw the transcripts that I sent you, would you have believed that a computer could do that without any...
Well, 50 years ago, I'd say, what computer?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, so. That's the whole thing.
It's a whole world that the news people are so happy to exploit and talk about. And, what's going to happen with AI? Is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? AI's been around for quite a while, maybe not to the sophistication that it is now, but we knew it was coming. Nobody complained about it. Hell, you know what AI does? AI knows to call you and do a robocall.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, AI's been there for the longest time. I started saying the other day to myself, you know what I think the problem of this world is? Computers. You know, it changed the game for everything.
What's the problem with computers?
Well, I would have to... We're coming towards the end of this thing here, so maybe...
Well, we'll have a part two in a couple of weeks.
We'll do a part two. I'll explain to you that I just... You know me and computers. You know how I've been...
Look, yes.
Chuck Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
better get that debt ceiling figured out, Chuck.
If anybody has been really hot on computers over the years, it's been me.
Right.
But I'll have to deal with that on another day. In fact, stick around. Maybe we'll do another one of these and finish it off and play it next week. Okay. Hey, that's Albert Reynoso. I don't have to tell you what he used to do for me, but he was very important in my life. And I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Albert Reynoso.
Goodbye.
Now, in its 12th year, this is GabNet. Talk like you've never heard it before.
Hey, everybody. How are you? Hello. You know what's interesting is what I just played you. I may have played before, actually. It was an old Albert, and I didn't want to run an old Albert. As a matter of fact, I had an Albert that was brand new that we recorded a few weeks ago, and I was going to run it today, and it didn't run. I put the wrong one on. So maybe next week I'll do it. Yeah, I'll run it next week. Okay, I'll do it then. And we have also another Shannon McCullough in the can. So those are things we'll keep doing. Anyway, listen, boy, I'm telling you, I hear, I want to turn this down a little bit. I hear, do you hear the air conditioner going? I better turn it up here. There we go. Anyway, I got that going. But we'll, we'll talk to other people now and get into the Zoom panel. Let me see here. What do I do here? I got to make things happen, and I got to make them go. Oh, I know what I got to do. I didn't do this. That's what I didn't do. I don't do things right anymore. Anyway, here we go. We got two people ready to be on with us, and maybe that'll be it. I don't know. But anyway, we'll admit them. Okay, here they come, folks. I said admit all. There we go. There is Len LaFrisco. Hello, Len. Hello. How are you? Wait a minute. Are you there? I don't get you. I don't have your audio.
There you go.
There
I'm
you
here.
Go.
How are you?
There you go. And you were a little on the orange side, but now you're fine. And hello to Jeff as well. What?
I was doing my Trump impression.
Oh, okay. And hello to Jeff. Hello. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, he's
I
up.
Don't know.
He's up in Maine, right?
Nice.
I am.
Yes.
My wife's son's going to be stationed there when he finishes his training.
What, his training for what?
He's going to be a federal officer of some sort. I'm not exactly sure what he is.
Oh, really?
Not ICE. Not ICE.
Please. Yeah. Anyway, I want to say hello to everybody tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just do this. There we go. Now everybody can see you guys.
Where's everybody?
Hmm?
Where is everybody?
Oh, I don't know. On Thursdays, they figure, I may not be here, but I've been here every week since we got back from Europe, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, tonight I ran an old Albert, but I wanted to run a new Albert that we had actually done and that I've had in the can for, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks, quite a few weeks.
Have you run the second Shannon McCullough one yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. I just mentioned I'm going to run that in a couple of weeks, too. I've got that in the can. And then we'll maybe go back to those people and re-interview them some more. Yeah, whatever. So it's only you guys?
Wow, that's depressing, isn't it?
It's very depressing.
Well,
you know.
I think somebody ought to add.
Pretty if it wasn't soon. For you, I had nobody to talk to.
What?
If it wasn't for you, I'd have nobody to talk to.
Well, exactly. So how are you doing, Len? What's new?
Just still fighting with those fucking assholes at the airline, but other than that, doing great.
They don't, you know, it's amazing for all the money they have. It would just do them good for goodwill to just say, here, we're going to take care of all of this. You know, have a good time, you know.
And my response to them was just that. You know, just take care of this guy. Are you kidding me right now? He lost everything. He lost his whole fucking vacation because of you people. And you can't just give him some money?
Well, what do they want to give us so far?
Nothing. Absolutely. They've not said a thing about a nickel. They want more receipts. I sent them all those receipts for the camera and the selfie stick and the thing. But I think they want to see receipts for your freaking underwear.
Well, you know, to begin with, I don't need to give them receipts. I mean, you know, I mean, the idea that I have to give them receipts for everything that was in there that what I might have lost.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, do
keep
I
have that stuff?
Yeah, do I have to have a receipt for my mother's ashes? Don't tell anybody. We're claiming that my mother's ashes were in the luggage. Luckily, I got my mother's ashes back. Thank God.
You did, yes.
They were so precious to me.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, this whole idea of we got to have receipts for everything. I mean, come on. To begin with, isn't there a certain amount of money they have to pay just for not returning my luggage?
I think it's at two weeks, or no, whatever it was.
2 weeks, I think it was, yeah.
They have to give you $2,000. That's the way I understood it. But
well, why don't you ask them about that?
Oh, I have. Trust me, I'm still working.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm going to keep trying. I'm not letting it go. You know what? I got nothing but time.
I mean, I don't like them because they've done they were pretty lousy in all of this. Yeah. And it's the airline we're dealing with. This current thing is the airline. And they're the ones that lost the luggage.
Exactly. They're the ones most responsible for this.
Yeah. I mean, my luggage was sitting there in Frankfurt. I knew it was there. I told them it was there, and they knew it was there.
I was at a beer hall.
Probably. You know. But
we'll keep trying. I'm not letting it go. I'm just not going to let it go.
Yeah. Well, they don't realize that you're retired, kind of.
Yeah, right.
You know, you have a travel service, but, you know, basically you're retired.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I'm retired, basically.
Yep.
And we've got all the time in the world to make their life.
Look at all these retired friends we have.
Yeah, you know. I am happy, though. Today, GE came by and took the new door to my washer-dryer and put it on. Took the old one off and put the new one on.
Sweet.
And he agreed. Yeah, it was scratched, you know. So
now it leaks, right?
No, it does. I don't think it works. No, it's you know, I think it's just the. I said there was nothing you really had to do much, did you? He said no. I just unscrew one and put the other one on. You know, so we'll see. Well, if it leaks, it leaks. I call them back, and you know, this will go on forever.
Right.
You know, but I doubt it. The guy looked like he was very competent. He was from GE. He knew what he was doing. He knew what had to be done. And we were fine. And the guy was terrific. In fact, the first thing he said to me when he came in, he said, "You really gave them hell over at PC Richards, didn't you?" And I don't know how he found that out, but I said, "I sure did." He said, "Good for
you." Your reputation precedes you.
He said, "Good for you," you know. So anyway, we were. Look, we got a lot of people now. What? Anyway, what?
It's not about the money or anything else. It's the principle of it.
In that case, it was the principle of the you know, I got this washer and dryer, and when it came off the elevator, they had nicked it up, and I didn't realize it also scratched the window. So, they gave me $75 for the scratches. A few scratches were on the side. They were like four little dense scratches on the side. Which you're not going to see much, you know. But anyway, they gave me $75. They said, "You want $75 for it?" I said, "Sure." Then when I tried to get them to take care of the door, they were saying, "Well, we gave you $75. That should take care of anything else that was wrong with it." Oh, really?
They should have told you to call General Electric and they'll come out and fix it.
No, but this is what happened. They called General Electric. Why? It wasn't under their warranty.
Right.
You know. So finally we got it taken care of, but I mean the last guy told me, well, you know, you did take the $75. I said, stop that. I said, nobody told me anything about that. You know, that after I took the $75, I couldn't claim anything else I found, which I didn't find the scratches on the glass till I got it out in the light. Okay? Right. And I said, if I had known that $75 was going to make me give up my rights, I would have told you to take the $75 and shove it up your ass.
Right.
He shut up after that. Well, we'll send somebody out to do it. Next thing I know, they say we can't get it for another two months or so. The door.
Yeah. Oh,
guess what?
Yeah.
It was at my front door 2 days later.
Yeah.
You know.
If the airline could have done that, that would have been great.
But they, you know, GE was fine. GE was terrific. They sent a guy out. They sent me the stuff. You know. But I mean, the trouble is, you got these people over at PC Richards. Oh, forget it, you know.
Yeah.
I have a 2 year warranty after this warranty's over with, and who knows if I'm going to be able to get anything out of that, you know.
I would look at your extended warranty. Is your extended warranty through GE or PC Richards?
I have an extended warranty through GE. I mean, through PC Richards, rather.
Okay.
But there is a 10-year warranty on certain parts for this thing, but from GE. So,
right.
You know, who knows?
Yeah, so a lot of these warranties that you buy from companies like that, they give you a warranty. And we read the small print that says the warranty starts the day you bought it.
Yep.
You know? See, there we are.
Well, I don't know. If I don't think so. It supposedly starts the day the old one is over. The GE is over with.
Not usually.
Oh well, then screw that. What am I buying? I'm buying a 1 year warranty.
Yep, that's exactly right. They do that with cars. You buy a 4 year warranty, and if the car has a 3 year warranty, you're only buying a 1 year warranty.
Absolutely. Oh, well, they give you a rental car, which they would, you know, that type of thing. But, yeah.
Do you get to keep the rental car?
No, it's in lost baggage in Frankfurt.
Yeah, right. How you doing, Tom?
Too soon, Alan.
Okay.
Second night in a row, huh?
Yeah, I felt sorry for you again.
You felt sorry for me again. Well, you know, Thursdays are very light. And hello to Kevin. The light is really coming in there, boy.
It's the sun.
I know.
Yeah, it's going down behind the mountain back there. It'll be gone in a sec.
Yeah, yeah. How's everything in Oregon?
Oh, wonderful.
How's the pride of home ownership?
You ever seen Derek Carville on Facebook in another great episode of Fuck This House?
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Tell me about it.
It's pretty funny. He's a comedian. I don't know where he's out of, but he does these little things about, you know, how he's fixing his house and how some asshole did this to whoever built this house has their head up their ass, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Pipes break and pool's got to be clean.
How about in your case?
It's kind of the same right now because I'm trying to still get this place into shape.
Once you get it into shape, will it be okay?
It'll be beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm enjoying the place.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the place and everything. It's just there's a lot of stuff that we, you know. You
did they not do due diligence when they sold it to you and tell you what was wrong?
Yeah, that's a long story.
I guess there's a legal action going on, huh?
No. Because they make it so you got outs everywhere.
They have outs everywhere.
You know, yeah, they got outs everywhere. You know,
I own property.
Yeah, it's kind of looks funny, but you know, we only did a visual, so you know, that's all we can give you is a visual. You know, that kind of crap.
Wow.
If something comes up afterwards, then you'll have to. There's nothing you have to
prove.
You have to prove they knew it. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
I have an apartment building in Portland, Oregon. You all know that.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin knows it. So I've dealt with lawyers up there before, and all the sellers seem to have all the rights up there. The buyers have no rights up there, and so I understand what you're saying, Kevin. There's just so many things that you can do. Their laws are very different.
It makes me glad I never bought a house. You know,
well, it's only our second one, so I'm a rookie at it too, and I probably won't ever buy another one.
Of course, it looks like Brian buys one every other day. You know,
I have a partial stoppage in my kitchen sink. I got to get a plumber for that. My dishwasher's leaking. I got to get somebody to repair that. And my breaker panel in the garage is fine, I think, but it's 60 years old. Breakers aren't made to go that long. Breakers are made to go 40 years or something like that. And so I've got to get it's called a sub panel. And so I got to get that changed. So altogether, it's probably going to cost about $10,000. So isn't that nice? Homeownership.
Now that you're talking about the place you're in right now, you own that.
Yes, I own it outright.
Oh, okay.
So God's paying me back by getting me up with all this.
But what is it? Is it a condo, right?
No, it's a house. It's a ranch style.
Oh, really?
Well,
because
condos don't go for $2 million. Well, maybe they do in some places in California, but not here.
All we ever see is that particular room, so I have no idea.
Unfortunately, my camera's attached to my office computer in here, which is the office is a disaster.
So. Mm.
But you said you don't care, so I don't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
No, it's four bedroom, two bath, two full baths, 2,200 square feet, something like that.
It's in what town?
Sorry?
What town are you in?
You know where I'm at.
Fremont?
Yeah, Fremont.
Okay.
How big's your house in Livermore?
2365, five bedroom, three bath, pool, three car garage.
Oh, I don't want to talk to you. You got a pool? I'm not much of a swimmer, but I'm good at lounging in a pool.
I sit up to about here with a cocktail.
Absolutely. And God forbid somebody jumps in and spills your cocktail.
Oh, my God. Forget it.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, so you have a pool, Len. You don't have anything, do you, Tom?
What do you mean? I've got this house. I've got my house.
Is that your house? You own it?
Part owner.
What do you mean part owner? Somebody else bought it with you?
Younger daughter is a part owner. The brother of my late housemate is another part owner.
But wow.
There's actually two houses on the property. I'm in the smaller cottage, which is two rooms, kitchen and a bathroom.
Now, are you out in the country? No.
No, I'm in West Berkeley.
Wow.
Berkeley, there's no country.
No, it's not country.
Grizzly Peak to find country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son's buying a house out in Pine, somewhere out about 2 hours out that way. And, he's paying like three something, and he's his first time buyer, and he's got an acre of land, and I can't even believe it.
Three years ago, he
couldn't have afforded to buy a paper bag, and now he's buying a house, so.
Your house and my house are probably, even though you got a bigger house and a pool, they're probably a comparable because the Livermore is a lot cheaper than Fremont.
Yeah, I'm in the 1.4s, I think. 1.4, 1.5.
Yeah, okay. See, he's got a bigger house, probably newer. And I'm sure he's still got problems, just like, I do. You own a house, you got problems. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's not a matter of when, it's going to happen. So,
well, here's the guy who buys a house every other week.
I heard you talking smack about me, so I had to jump on. No, I just got home. No, but this house, we did everything top to bottom, brand new.
It's not smack if it's true.
No.
Yeah, but now, are you thinking about getting out of it? Now you were talking.
No. I'm dying in this house.
You're going to die in that house.
Yeah, Adrian's going to have this house. She's set.
Okay.
Talked about that a couple of times.
Yeah. So you're going to die in that house when? In about a week and a half?
Jesus. Hey, if I die in a week and a half, I'll be feel bad.
Yeah. Right?
But anyway.
No, but by the time I die, we just talked about this on the ride to school today. But I'm just happy because since she's my only child, she gets everything. And then when she gets old enough, she can get a job she really wants and not something she has to have to make money and all that stuff. So that was my goal, to make sure she's set. So when she goes to school and gets a career going, then she can get the job that she really wants and not something like most people just to survive, you know, so.
Okay.
Especially around here.
Yeah.
Actually, we're driving home. We went and played some basketball and came home, and it's so nice outside, and the area is like in the foothills of Santa Cruz Mountains. So it's, you know, so driving. Nice. This is a really nice.
How
area.
Far are you from work?
Geez, that's a bad thing. I'm like 40 minutes from work with no traffic, but coming home usually is about an hour.
Okay,
just it's up. It's all freeway, but
it's pretty typical, though. I mean, really,
yeah. I mean, a lot of people in the Bay Area live in the Central Valley.
Yeah, and that
crazy and stuff, and they commute back and forth every day.
I commuted to Palo Alto from here for 3.5 years. So.
Yeah, the Altamont Pass is the worst.
That's a nightmare. Nightmare.
By the way, Alan, you could turn your audio up a little bit.
No. I say it's a little bit high. Can you turn it down a little bit?
If I can get the settings, what happened here? Audio settings.
Oh, we're such a friendly group, aren't we?
Yeah, we're a friendly group. Let me ask this of all the people that own houses here. How many find that, in general, it's a pain in the ass?
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but... I've quintupled, you know, in 30 years, so that's a lot of money. Yeah.
Okay, so you paid yours off, all right, Rent, Lynn?
No, not at all. I had to buy out my ex-wife during a divorce.
Okay.
So I still owe about what I paid for the house, about $300.
Hmm. My voice better, Alex?
Yeah, much better, much better. Yeah. Hello, Tony.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up with you? Do you own that place? You do, don't you?
Yes, me and my brother paid the mortgage off a couple of years ago, so we got a 3-family in Queens.
Okay, nice. And you don't owe any money on it. It's yours.
Yeah, it's totally. We threw some money into the first floor. We knocked everything down to make it new. But other than that, there's no mortgage. We paid it off.
And you were going to have roommates. You had roommates for a little bit, right? And no more?
Oh, I have a tenant upstairs in my mom's apartment.
Oh, you do?
Apartment. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good income. Yeah. And then where's your comic book museum?
Actually, the bottom, the basement, which really is an apartment, it's my whole warehouse and my stereo and my music is downstairs. So when I come up, we did the whole basement too. So it kind of looks like the apartment here, Alex. It has like wood floors going all the way to the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we just redid the bathroom. So other than that, it's all new.
Let me ask you this question. You live in Queens. And as we know, Queens lately has had a little problem with rain. Okay? And all your stuff is in the basement.
It's on racks. Yeah, I took Shecky down there. I don't have any water. And we did the whole yard. I've never gotten water. But all my books are all on wood racks or way off the ground. So it's like 3 feet off.
If it catches on fire.
Yeah, that's, I don't even have anything down there. Stove or nothing. We took it
so
out.
If it catches on fire, there's some wood to keep the uses kindling.
Exactly.
Nice starter.
I got that up here.
You could always buy a fire safe. In my room.
What?
You could always buy
I have
a fire
like expensive safe. Stuff upstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tony, you can always buy a fire safe if you have stuff that's really valuable.
We're actually looking to buy a house in Cornwall, me and my brother.
Where's
like
that?
An hour away.
Oh, okay.
So we're thinking about it. We might go up there Saturday, Alex. We're thinking about driving up.
How long have you lived in that house?
Well, my brother had a house out of here, but I lived here my whole life like Shecky did. So this is my ancestral house.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was my grandfather's house, actually. He owned two houses.
Oh,
my
firm.
Who the other day took a picture? Was it you, Tony, that took a picture of Shecky's old property?
Oh, no, that wasn't me.
No, that was Edward Berger.
Edward Berger. He went over there and he took a picture and they built a McMansion there.
Indeed? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to take the train down there maybe over the weekend just to take a ride. It's only two trains for me that I would walk over there. But they knocked it down there and all that stuff.
Well, you see, the thing is they buy property these days.
Yeah.
You know, and the property they buy is, you know, it's not, what can I say? You know?
You know what Shecky told me on when he was live?
They don't want to keep that property. Old. It's an old building. It's maybe 75 years old, you know.
And you know what he used to drive me to the train station? He said something that made sense in Queens. The zoning laws in Queens are very loose. Even over here, he says they can knock a two-family down, and now they're putting a three-family up out. Like, anything goes really here.
Well, that's on a hit. Shecky's property, that was on an acre.
He had a nice yard too.
Yeah, and, wow. and somebody could buy that property, chop it up, sell the rest of it off, and build themselves a nice giant McMansion.
That's what they're doing here, Alex. And these houses stand out then. This is boring.
Because their thought is if they're going to redo a house, they're going to just go up.
Right.
Yeah. They're not going to build a little brand new three bedroom, two bath. No, they're going to take advantage and they're going to go up and then.
Yeah. Well, I just never ever bought a house because I in radio, you're constantly moving, you know? And if I had known that I was going to last in the Bay Area as long as I did, I would have bought a house the day I got there. But I didn't, and my business manager said, you're not the kind to have a house. No, he says, you don't want the pain in the ass that it is.
You know, one-bedroom
condo. Would have been nice to go out to Marina.
One-bedroom or studio condos in nice parts of San Francisco are selling for $2 and $3
million.
Wow. Yeah.
That much.
Yeah.
In the Marina, where you saw those
buildings. That's if you want to be in the city.
They rebuilt those buildings, and they're worth over $2 million, a lot of those.
What buildings did they rebuild?
I don't know. Didn't some buildings collapse in the earthquake?
The one was falling over, and they managed to shore it up. Okay,
well,
and I don't know. I know of one building that completely fell, third floor down to the ground floor. And by the way, somebody was in the third floor, and when it got to the bottom, they walked out the window.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of fires in the Marina, weren't there?
No. There were fires. There were, I think, I don't know how much damage was actually done to houses. They all had to be changed, a lot of them. You know, a lot of them had to be rebuilt and new foundations. On rolling foundations. They'd like to have for earthquakes so that they don't, if they're rigid, they shake and everything falls apart. If they are on a rolling foundation, they can survive an earthquake. Yes, Tony.
Look, my house is 123 Main Street. No, wait, it's 124 Main Street. No, it's 127 Main Street. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah.
Is it hard to get insurance on earthquakes? Like in Florida, my brother's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. So
they have a hard time getting insurance down there for hurricanes. Sure. What about you guys for earthquakes? Do they cover you for that?
Earthquakes are earthquake
very expensive.
California is very expensive.
And it's like a 10% deductible, I think.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Wow.
Yeah. So
if I got a 15% deductible on my house, my house is worth $2 million. If I got a 15% deductible, I have to come up with a big chunk of change.
Yeah.
They'll even start working.
Yeah.
So in essence, if you get hit with a hurricane, you should screw it.
Yearly insurance is about $7,000.
Wow.
Yeah,
my homeowner's insurance is $2,000.
Yeah.
For all other perils, like if the house burned down or something like that.
Do you have, Tom, do you have earthquake insurance?
I do.
How much does that cost you a year?
Oh, boy. Several thousand, 6,000, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's about what he was saying it was. Yeah.
It varies a lot. You know, the earthquake started in Loma Prieta in South San Jose. And I have friends of mine that live in San Jose, and their earthquake insurance for a comparable house price-wise is about $3,000 or $4,000. I don't get it. They live right on an earthquake fault, and they get the, they get a big discount.
Mine was less than 2,000 when I left.
And in Hollister, it's
in Hollister is an earthquake. Every day. It's a fault, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But see, our house was built in 99, so the code. The code is, when we first started, it was like $400 a year.
Yeah.
And then it slowly went up as the house got older.
I remember those days in the 90s.
No, 98 it was built, so that's when we moved in there.
Yeah. I mean, my house is bolted to the foundation, and they have shear walls and all that stuff.
I have all that, too.
Yeah. What about fire insurance? I mean, you get forest fires in California.
Yeah, mine went up substantially this year. I mean, like,
so you not only have to have earthquake insurance, but you have to have fire insurance as well.
And they're dropping people because of fire insurance.
Yep.
Left and right.
What do you mean?
Mine went up.
They just won't insure them, are you saying?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah.
So mine, I have a rake.
You have a rake?
I rake the leaves.
You rake the forest, though.
And I'm surrounded by fire. I'm surrounded by a forest here, and I barely pay $2,000 a year.
Well, how about you, Brian? Are you in earthquake territory or?
Oh yeah,
not really, not here. My work is in Hayward. It's on the Hayward Fault.
So yeah, if there's a little shaker.
I'm unemployed.
You're at the bottom of the San Andreas, though, where you are.
Yeah, because it comes down the thing, down the Fremont.
So the Hayward,
you look up the hill from where
you
are.
So I can say about the Hayward, it's your fault.
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing about the Hayward Fault is the city of Fremont built the police department out of concrete right on the fault line. So they decided to, they had enough money, this is about 10 years ago, to rebuild the police department to make it less earthquake prone. So they rebuilt it differently instead of a big concrete building, and they moved it over 500 feet or 1,000 feet.
Jeez.
They're right next to the Hayward Fault. I mean, I don't get it.
The stadium at Berkeley, the football stadium is built on the fault.
Yeah.
Right. And you can actually see there are places where it's moving one way and the other.
Well, you know, we have a major earthquake fault here that goes right through Central Park.
Really?
Yes. It has on a couple of occasions shaken, but we haven't felt it. It's not a big shake. But who knows? You know, one day it may go. The largest fault in the country is in the Midwest, the New Madras Fault.
The Madras Fault, That's it.
And it's pretty, you know.
Yeah, homeowners insurance skyrocketed because of all these fires in California.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mine tripled.
Mine did, LA. Too. Don't feel bad. Mine did, too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm in a low fire risk area to track homes that are not.
Right. I have a cement house with a cement roof. I mean, what the hell?
Right.
Cement house with a cement roof.
Yeah.
Another it's tile roof with stucco.
It's stucco with a tile roof.
Okay. Yeah. I have the same thing. Well, you know.
Don't care. Don't invite me to come out to visit. You know.
It's not only the wildfires, it's the big fire in Los Angeles, too.
Yeah, L.A.
When Trump said that they need to open up the valve up in Northern California and let more water out.
I wish he died.
Now, what an idiot.
Where is that, those valves?
He's such a schmoe.
They don't have valves. They have a canal that runs actually along I-5, a lot of it, that brings water from Northern California to Southern California.
California Aqueduct.
And this is lying. And they don't close that spigot up.
Never.
That thing's constant.
Never.
Time. It's like a little river made
out of
concrete.
All up.
And then he said that you should start raking your leaves.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, if you live in certain areas, you do have to. I had a house up in the mountains, and every year I had to rake like 100 feet past the house.
I mean, it's not just raking.
I had to rent the truck.
It's like?
Yeah, it's like maintaining the yard so you don't have these trees, dry trees hanging over your house and stuff like that.
I had to rent a truck every year to haul everything away.
Why didn't you just buy the truck?
Oh, the pride of home ownership. Boy, am I glad my business manager told me not to buy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, Ray's got the perfect house. It never needs repairs.
Well, that is a... Let's talk about Ray's house. Ray's house is... How old is your house, Ray?
I think it was built in 1950.
Yeah, and it was Eichler, right?
It's an Eichler, yeah.
Explain what an Eichler home was to people in New York who wouldn't understand.
It's on a concrete slab, so there's no
basement.
There's no basement. There's no
no shear wall.
No shear wall, and there's no attic. But it's on a slab, and it's a lot of light. So
they were kind of very flat homes. Their style was very flat.
Yeah, they're flat. Most of them have flat roofs or only slightly angled roofs. Mine's not flat. There's a lot of light. There's huge windows in every room. So you have a ton of natural light coming in, and there's all kinds of skylights. And it's just
not great. Yeah,
I mean, it's like you're living outside, but you're indoors.
Very mid-century modern looking, I see.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah. It's like... but you know when they built them, there were some that were high end and they were expensive, and there's a few of those around here, and in Marin there's a bunch, but I was in one of the cheaper ones, so we had to redo all the windows because
cheaper
you could feel the air.
It's probably worth $4 million right now.
What, my house?
Yeah,
like 3.5.
Yeah, see, nice. I wasn't far off.
Yeah,
that's more than Len's house, more than my house.
I think I paid $450,000.
Do you still have the radiant heating?
Mine works. I have copper pipes. So I have copper pipes, so the radiant heating works great. And some of them they accidentally, I don't know if they accidentally, they put like steel pipes and they oxidize and they don't work.
Yeah.
But I have copper pipes, and years ago I bought the top of the line pump. So it works fantastically.
Is it it's in the floor?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's in the concrete.
Concrete
slab.
It pumps warm water through it, and it reheats up through the floor.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
They were considered very modern for their time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they've lasted. It's amazing they've lasted this long, because by this time, have they torn a lot of them down? Or are they?
Not a lot. No. People do tear them down. There's all kinds of uproar every time they do it.
Gotcha.
There's certain neighborhoods where you're not allowed to tear them down because they were able to get, you know, statutes passed. It's super hard to get those, though. You have to have 70% of the people in the neighborhood have to sign the petition.
Wow.
Yeah, my buddy Troy had one in Burlingame, around the corner from my house. And that's what it was, that they couldn't tear it down. Whoever bought it had to just... You know, you could redo it, but you can't tear it down.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there's also...
And it's two blocks off of 101.
Wow.
There's also regulations in some neighborhoods about putting another floor on top. Second story overlay.
Well, you're lucky you have a peaked roof, Ray, because you probably have an area where you can put insulation in.
My roof is insulated. And
a lot of Eichlers were flat. And there was nowhere to put insulation in.
Oh, it gets so hot. But I have insulation and a foam roof and double pane windows. And even if it's 100 degrees outside, it's not bad in the house.
You're going to find out this weekend. We got the heat dump.
Yeah. It's supposed to be hot.
Do you have air conditioning?
No.
No?
No.
You don't need it?
Warmer in Livermore.
It would be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Most places in Palo Alto don't have air conditioning.
Can't you put an air conditioner in the window, or don't the windows have that kind of opening?
They don't have that kind of opening.
Really?
But he's got.
Plus, it costs a lot to run them,
so they can run air conditioning pipe and have forced air if he wants, right?
I can install that. I have a forced air water heater, which actually cools the garage. And I wish I was in the garage. Sometimes I go in the garage when it's super hot because. The forced air water, the heat pump, makes the garage nice and cold.
Mm.
Yeah. Do you know what a heat pump is?
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
It's an air conditioner with a reversing valve.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have a heat pump.
The coils that normally get cold, it reverses. They now get hot, and the cold coils are in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I have a heat pump in my new washer dryer. But I don't know what that means exactly.
It's like a heater, but back. But
why would they
it's like an air conditioner, but backwards.
It basically takes the heat out of.
Well, this is a thing for drying the clothes, and it has a heat pump.
Yeah.
And it doesn't use much electricity, from what I'm told.
Yeah, that's what they're great. That's what's great about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Tom?
I was saying, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And heat pumps have been around for a long time. I remember back in the early or 70s when we had the first energy crisis,
mm-hmm.
there was a radio advertisement narrated by Rod Serling. Mm. And I remember him saying, you know, there's heat even in the coldest winters. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it takes the heat from the outside and it pumps it inside. So these mm-hmm. are not new devices, but they become more affordable. A lot more people are getting them.
And they're still expensive, but they were really expensive.
So a lot of older hotels where they have the air conditioner through the wall under the window in your room.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder how they can put out heat sometimes. Those are heat pumps. They just have a reversing valve and change where the heat comes from. And Tom's right. It can be 40 degrees outside and you can get heat out of that air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a heat pump, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
In California there, we don't have enough electrical problems. They're requiring in California everybody in 2027 or 2028, something like that. Your water heater, your gas water heater goes out.
One,
I'm requiring everybody to get a heat pump water heater.
100% of everything is going to be electric. Yep.
We got a heat pump.
In the Bay Area, we get it 4 years before the rest of the state.
You know what?
But we got a rebate. For getting a heat pump, we got like two different rebates.
Really?
One from the city.
That's great.
If my gas water heater goes out, I'm driving to Nevada and getting one and bringing it back. They can
absolutely.
Bite me.
I thought I would just buy one while you can, though.
Contractors
probably won't install it, but you can probably.
They won't let you. They won't let you buy a gas water heater in California.
That's right.
Not next.
But you can install it if you get it from somewhere else.
No.
Not legally.
You'd have to have a permit.
Not legally.
No. You'd have to have a permit, and apparently they won't allow it. I'm sure, but I'm sure I can find somebody that will put.
Well,
it
we
in.
Don't.
I'm sure.
Haven't the heat pumps prices gone down some?
Yeah, it
works great. I love it.
We're paying, we're paying 30 cents a kilowatt hour here. Everybody else in the country is paying 7.
Right.
Jeff, have you looked at your electric bill lately? How is it during the summer? Because we got our air conditioner going all the time.
Oh, you want to know what mine was, Alex?
What?
Me and my brothers. $490 with.
Whoa.
Mine gets mine gets up because of all the electricity I've got in the studio.
Oh, I got two floors too. So
mine comes to around 600 during the summer.
What?
I have
central air. That's, and central
mostly
heat.
Mostly your air conditioner.
Yeah, and the air conditioner, when it's air conditioner time, it runs quite a bit around here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Global warming.
Well, now what do you have? Do you have central air or do you have what?
Me?
Yes.
I have central air and gas furnace. I'm sure that the next furnace I get 20 years from now, I just got it replaced 2 years ago. So I have to worry for 15 or 20.
But how about your water heater? Is it electric?
It's gas. Electric water heaters, not heat pumps, but just electric water heaters are expensive to operate.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you're better off.
And the problem is you don't have a plug out there. My gas plug, I don't have any plug anywhere near. I'd have to have somebody come out and rough in a plug.
Tony?
Well, do you have a plug?
No, wait, Tony wants to talk here.
This is Alan or anybody else. We will, Alan, if we look at a new house with central air, would you save money with electric with central to the regular air conditions?
Well, I don't know what a regular
air conditioner,
like
he's talking about, is the ones you put in the windows.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But the air conditioner is going to, if those air conditioners that fit through the window cost you $300 or $400, depending on the square footage. Like, my air conditioner is good up to 2,000 or 2,100 square feet or something like that. And that was $22,000. So, yeah, wow. It's a lot more money, but it saves in the energy.
Boy, am I glad I didn't buy a home.
Yeah. I have my rental unit, the air conditioner broke. I have to, it's a new one's going to cost me $15,000.
There you go.
Is that central air, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. How long did it last? Does it last a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, it lasted like 35 years or something.
Oh, okay,
like
that's
that.
Great then, yeah.
Diana Ross's daughter.
By the time you need a new one.
Diana Ross's daughter lives in our building, and she has an apartment. And on the roof, she installed a central air conditioner, and then they went down in, and right above the ceiling here, there is a space, and so they can bring it in and then run those little vents in each room.
Right.
And that's what I think she did.
Yeah,
that's
nice
and quiet.
Yeah.
That's common in commercial buildings to put the air conditioner up on the roof. A lot of times it's called they call it a air conditioner heater. It's a lot of times, and then they just bring vents down to different floors, and you have a thermostat on the wall which actually opens and closes the louver.
Well, you know, a water in most of these buildings in our neighborhood there are these water tanks up on the top of the building. Guess what we've got now? Uh-oh. Legionnaire's disease.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And it's caused...
In your building?
No, not in my building, but in other buildings. We don't have a water tank up there.
Okay.
But the buildings that have water tanks, Legionnaire's disease, and it's rampant in Manhattan.
Well, don't go swimming in that water tank.
No, I don't intend to. No. But I mean, that's a big consideration.
They put water tanks on top of buildings because it gets so hot up there that they run the cooling coils first through that, then through the air conditioner, and it takes a lot of the heat out, and then it pumps cold. It's cheaper.
Really? Okay. But anyway, we've got a little problem here, you know.
Welcome to HVAC talk. You're up on the air.
Yeah, no kidding. I worked on HVAC for a while, when I was going to school after I got out of high school. So. That
Legionnaire's
was a long
disease.
Time ago, but it hasn't changed that much. I understand the theories and stuff.
What were you going to say, Ray?
Legionnaire, is it a form of pneumonia, Legionnaire's disease?
I don't know. You know, I remember the reason they called it Legionnaire's disease is they were having a American Legion convention, I think it may be... Philadelphia, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was like 1976
70-something.
Like that.
Yeah.
And it turned out that all these people, unfortunately, had got Legionnaire's disease, and they didn't know what it was initially, and then they realized it came from the water containment, on top of the buildings. You know, they had these huge tanks. You're welcome. These huge tanks, and they were causing Legionnaire's disease. Hey, look,
but Ray, you're right. It's a serious type of pneumonia. I thought.
Look how homeownership has worn Kevin out.
He's there. He's just relaxing.
That's what home ownership will do to you.
No. He's listening to the termites right now.
Okay. I'll tell you, though, I am jealous of somebody like Kevin who has moved to the country, and he's on, 7 acres, something like that. And that, to me, that would be the ideal life for me. It would probably drive Marjorie nuts, but, I would love it. What were you going to say, Kevin?
Nothing, don't worry about it.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that I made friends with a deer today. She was hanging around all freaking day today.
Nice.
No, she was just sitting in the backyard, and then she decided to just take a rest and lay down. And I was walking into the house, moving groceries and everything else, and she just hung around all damn day.
Is that because she likes you, or she thinks you've got food?
Probably both.
Yeah.
Mostly food deal.
Do you want to make friends with a deer, or is it not a good idea?
It's like one of those things that they're nice to look at, but just let them keep their distance.
They're all full of ticks and everything, aren't they?
Yeah.
I had a raccoon on my front porch last night.
Really?
That's what shotguns are made for.
What is the new raccoon who's a big deal now on television?
Yeah.
Like
Jimothy or something?
Jimothy up in Seattle.
Yeah.
Jimothy. If you type Jimothy in Google, he runs across your screen.
But he's got walking problems or something.
Short spine syndrome.
Short spine syndrome?
Yeah.
Better known as Trump syndrome.
Looks like a hunchback, raccoon.
No, that's short penis syndrome.
Oh, by the way, you might be happy, all of you might be happy to know that Trump's approval rating now is down to 32%.
I wonder who the 32% are, Alex.
Those are the
MAGAs. Yeah, really, me too. Yeah,
32%.
Insurrectionists.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they believe in still?
Huh?
How do they believe this idiot?
Go call your friend Phil.
Yeah, call Phil. He'll tell you how. You know. Yeah.
Phil hanging in there?
Although,
still
I'm beginning to wonder.
He's doing good. Phil's doing good.
He's hanging in there with Trump?
Yeah.
What's that?
He's hanging in there with Trump still?
Absolutely. He thinks Trump is going to go down as one of the greatest presidents.
Jesus.
I wonder, though, because, you know, he's been very good when he's called the program lately, and he just doesn't get into Trump, talking about Trump. And I thought a little bit that maybe he's kind of having second thoughts, maybe.
I don't think so. I just think he doesn't want to stir up the crowd. He didn't feel like arguing when he was here about it.
Well, it's very nice of him. Mm-hmm. I enjoy having him on that way. But
he's a smart guy. He's a good guy. You know,
ain't smart enough.
Well, just because he thinks differently than you.
No, that's not it. That's not it. I mean, there's something wrong when you can't see that this guy is not doing good for this country, but he's doing good for himself.
He's not doing good for the world.
Right. Exactly.
But he's doing good for himself. They estimate that he so far has made maybe $4 billion off the presidency.
Yeah. And then his children, too.
Yeah. It's siphoned through his kids so that he can say, I haven't made any money.
Yeah.
You know, but it's
I just sold some stock that has gone up dramatically since he took office in a year and a half. And they just sent me a check for my...
Well, I just looked at my stocks, and they're down.
Yeah, well, they were down big today.
Yeah. Big today and yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Problem is, too, is most Americans don't own stock.
That's true.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe it helps you, but like...
It's not the little guy like you and me, Alex, or whoever else owns stock. When you sell stock, even if all us little guys, thousands of us... sell Microsoft in one day, it's going to budge not much. What drives Microsoft up and down is the big guys, the guys that
own hedge fund guys,
hedge funds and mutual funds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, I I'm having to sell a little bit of my stock off because I'm living off of it. You know.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
But if I had to sell all of it, you know, sell a lot of it every year for the next many years, I will have enough money to live the rest of my life on, you know.
Warren Buffett had a rule. He said, I was watching one of his conferences, when you retire, he says, the 4% rule, if you have a portfolio,
they're poo-pooing that now.
Yeah.
They're saying that that's too low now. They're saying 5 or 6.
What is it that he say? That you do what with your 4% or 5%?
4% rule.
And what, so you cash in 4% of your portfolio a year.
Oh, okay.
I'm not too much of a hurry to do that because you've got to pay capital gains on that.
Mm-hmm. You do. Yeah.
You do.
And well, you're going to have to pay your
costs. If you're making $80,000 a year and you sell $40,000 worth of stock, now you're going to pay taxes on $120,000. So.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You lose out Trump's tax breaks.
Yeah.
Welcome to the HBAC Financial Channel.
Hold on. All right, Ray. You know, I think in the country, like where Kevin lives, they have signs in the driveway that says no broadcasters allowed on this property.
I was going to ask you something, Alex, on a radio host. Remember you were on a while, like last year, WABC. Do you Do you know a Walter Sterling? I was listening to ABC Radio.
Walter Sterling's my old friend.
Is that Walter?
Used to be, I used to name Cole.
He did his show a couple times.
Walter Sabo. Yeah.
Yeah, he does the show on ABC Radio at night from 1 to 5. I listen to it. It's kind of like, it's something after midnight. It kind of sounds like Coast to Coast with that old radio guy.
Art Bell.
Oh,
well, he
kind of
has it. He was doing
that whack job. So he's on WABC. I mean, what's that New York anymore? It's just a crappy little radio station.
It's just a slot. Like, it's kind of like a paranormal type show where they talk about conspiracies.
Oh, he's talking about paranormal?
Well, he was talking about, like, the other day he was talking about was 9/11, did it really happen, or he was taking calls.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was one of those. I was kind of listening, is this guy for real? You know,
well, he's a good friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine, so I won't say what I think about that, okay, but you can imagine.
He was good, Alex. I enjoyed his show.
Has he figured you out, Tony?
Well, I haven't called. I just listened to
you're sitting there eating Cheetos, and are you eating Cheetos sitting in your chair? And you're like, wow, this guy's good.
He's on from like 2 to 6 at night or something like that. Some amazing hour. And nobody's listening anymore at those hours on radio.
I actually listen to the radio overnight falling asleep, so that's me sitting there. It's like, it puts me to sleep.
Well, there are people trying to sign on right now with the weirdest names. No, and
you only got 5 minutes left.
I know, and they can do it all they want. I'm not answering. Okay, so don't waste your time, folks.
These people have a life.
I don't want to see that crap.
No, me neither.
It's kind of late.
No, I'm not going to put them on because you know what you're going to see.
Yeah, God. I won't be able to sleep again.
And plus, we got Adrian. She's kind of watching there, and I wouldn't want her to have to see that.
No.
Oh,
no.
God.
You know. There she is.
I don't know what she's looking at.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to answer any of them. So if you're trying to call... Go screw yourself, you know.
Tomorrow night.
Huh?
How is anybody new going to come
tomorrow
on?
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, call tomorrow night. Right. One night I should just do a show in which I take nothing but those assholes' calls.
And if they're really assholes, like Trump assholes, then you forward them to Phil's phone number.
There you go. What I usually do is when I do answer these people, I put myself on screen.
Right.
And then no matter what they want to do, forget it. It's not going to, it's not going to.
It doesn't go out on the podcast, but we see it.
Yeah.
It's not going to fly,
Hey, did anybody see Trump fart at Lindsey Graham's wedding?
Did he fart?
Like about to puke. Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's great.
He's a Secret Service agent, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, boy. Really?
Yeah, but that was pretty.
Yeah, the Secret Service agent behind him looked like he was going to blow his chunks.
He smirked really bad.
I've got to find that on the web. Where's that at, Ray?
It's on the internet.
At Graham's funeral, he pulls out a package of Tic Tacs.
Lindsey Graham.
Well, what the hell. Hey, listen, that about winds it up for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank Len for being here. Thank you, Len. I appreciate it. Jeff, always wonderful to have you around.
The
lovely and attractive Tom Yamaguchi. Alan, thank you, Alan. We appreciate it. Kevin.
Deer Hunter. Alan. Kevin, the Deer Hunter.
Kevin, the Deer Hunter.
Don't start confusing us.
Right. Don't feed him. Don't feed him. It won't go
just
away.
Corn.
Huh?
Just corn.
Just corn?
Yeah, we got like 6 of them that come around.
Okay.
Got to keep them fed.
You got to keep them fed, huh, boy?
Yeah, they're just way out there.
Though. Anyway, Tony, thank you for being here. And, of course, Ray, always a pleasure having you here. If everybody would like to give a big wave goodbye, I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. And there they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for tonight. There'll be another one tomorrow night. In the meantime, there'll be one right after us with Amy Manuel. Yep. And if you want to call her, you just go down the line there. You go over to gabnet.net, and then you go in column 3 down at the bottom. You'll see a whole bunch of names, including hers. Click on it, and you'll be able to talk to her. I'll see you again tomorrow night for our final show of the week. In the meantime, as always, as I like to say, if you see her, of course, tell her I love her, okay? Bye-bye, everybody.